You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner on News Talk 4BC.
Good morning and welcome. Nice to be back with you once again. It's just gone 7 past 7 and we're talking real estate. And we do that, of course, for Calypso Bay, where you can live your dream lifestyle. In Southeast Queensland's premier waterfront development, visit calypsobay.com.au. And Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. Now, it's absolute waterfront luxury from just $875,000. Check it out for yourself. That's Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. Okay, well, this week in the show, we're going to be giving you a real treat. We're going to go around Australia, and we'll have a look at each of these states. We'll kick it off by looking at Victoria. We'll take you to Tasmania, the ACT, South Australia, West Australia, Northern Territory, and we'll wrap the show up today as we look at Queensland and New South Wales. And joining me as my co-host and to give us some expert advice, Dr. Andrew Wilson, Senior Economist with the Domain Group. Good morning, Dr. Andrew.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you this morning? Beautiful sunny day too, it is.
Yeah, it is a beautiful day, yeah. And, mate, good to have you along with us. And we're going to be looking at each of the states now. We're going to be talking to the heads of CEOs or presidents of the institutes at each of those states and or territories. And we've asked them three or four questions, mainly what were the challenges during 2016? What's going to happen as we head into 2017? And interestingly enough too, Andrew, I've said to them, look, if there's if you had the median price of a property in your back pocket, where would you spend it? And interesting, some of the comments that came back too. So we'll and I want your opinion on those as well. No doubt you'll give it to me.
Of course,
do.
I will.
You always do. So Andrew, just generally, broadly, state of the market.
Well, state of the market, of course, remains mixed. Kevin, the Reserve Bank has again decided to leave interest rates on hold over November, as we know. So probably the last chance to make have some influence on the economy. And, of course, lower rates has an influence on housing markets. And, look, it is still a bit of a two-speed environment, our housing markets. The eastern seaboard, particularly Melbourne and Sydney, are doing quite well. Brisbane marked a little bit of time over the winter months, but looking like back in town over the December quarter, as is usually the case with that Brisbane market. The resource states are still struggling, particularly Western Australia. The Perth market still recording price falls. But look, it's all about the economy, isn't it? And the better economies are doing better in terms of housing market activity, and those that aren't doing so well, their housing markets are certainly subdued. But look, a mixed bag, and I think we'll still get a cut in interest rates next year. I think it'll be a line ball, but I would think that the economy will have to start showing some clear signs of improvement for us not to get a cut in rates. And of course, some of our those resource states I was talking about, they really are looking out for some more stimulus, not just for their housing markets, but for their economies as well.
And just one interest rate cut next year, you think?
Well, it will depend on a number of factors, Kevin. The headline economic data looks okay, but when we look a little deeper into it, we see full-time jobs are falling. Inflation, underlying inflation, is at record low levels. Retail sales are just starting to flatten, and you know, that is a mixed bag. And I think we'll have to see some improvements to offset maybe one or even two interest rate cuts next year.
Okay, well, let's start our journey around Australia. Well, first up, let's go to one of the premier states in Australia. We'll go to Victoria, talking to Jeff White, who is the CEO for the Institute. Jeff, how would you broadly describe the market there right now?
There's been fairly significant house growth that's been recorded in the metropolitan part of Melbourne over the last 12 months, and we've seen median prices now at a record $740,000. It's really an excellent time if you're thinking of selling. Over the last quarter, we saw a 3.2% increase with high clearance rates and strong demand. The market's performing very well here, Kevin.
Still a lot of talk about oversupply in Melbourne with units. Is that a reality?
Maybe to some extent, although the unit market has also seen an increase in certainly the last quarter and over the last year, albeit not as much as the house market. There's still good demand, and net migration into Victoria is strong, and that certainly meaning we're getting good demand on pretty much most of the properties throughout Melbourne.
Fast forward to this time next year, what do you think you'll be saying about 2017, Jeff?
We expect the Victorian market will continue to grow, albeit probably a little bit more moderately over the next year or so. Current figures from buyer demand is high, and we still see that being the case. As more buildings come out of the ground and apartments are being built, that certainly will soften, I think, a little. Generally speaking, it'll still continue to move in an upward direction, but it might be a bit more moderate.
And what about the smart money? Where's the investment money going into the state?
There's a lot of demand for properties in our northeast area of Melbourne and suburbs such as Heidelberg and Heights, Watsonia North and Green. And at the other end of the scale, there's been some very good pickups for buyers in areas like Coburg North, Preston, Pascoe Vale, just to name a few. So they're performing very well at the moment.
There you go, Andrew. Named quite a few suburbs there. What's your view on the oversupply of units?
Well, I think it's very much restricted to the CBD market, Kevin, and no surprise there that I guess buyers don't embrace that market as yet. It's a new market, the inner city market or the inner CBD market, but there's plenty of demand for middle ring and inner ring suburban units, Kevin, growing very strongly, particularly down to the south. So, no surprise that we've got some short-term oversupply in that CBD market, but units everywhere else are finding buyers in the Sydney market, in the Melbourne market, but of course that's very much about suburban units rather than that inner city unit market.
And those areas that Jeff mentioned there, Heidelberg North, Watsonia, Greensboro, any of those jump out for you, Pascoe Vale?
Well, the northeast has been very, very strong, Kevin, yeah. And this is a bit of catch-up energy, particularly in the west, the northeast, and down to the southeast. But I think there's some good value in the southeast, actually. We've seen areas such as Keysborough, very, very strong, Noble Park, and I think Carrum Downs is worth watching too next year because I think there's some good value there as those sort of affordability perceptions spread ever outwards down to the southeast. But look, the star performer this year, the Melbourne market, and certainly well set for another good year next year.
When you say star performer, do you think it is literally outperformed Sydney?
Well, it has over the year, but of course it's come from a bit of a way back. The Sydney median is higher, $1 million plus, and the Melbourne median around about $750 at the moment. So there's still a big difference in value there. And it's those value suburbs that have really driven the Melbourne market this year, and they have been those suburbs to the west and to the north, particularly following a subdued period and really almost irresistible demand there for good value opportunities in those northern and western suburbs of Melbourne.
Okay, let's move across the water now from Victoria and we'll have a look at Tasmania. Joining me now, the president of the Real Estate Institute of Tasmania, Tony College. How would you describe that market in Tasmania right now?
Pretty much two speed. Hobart is very, very buoyant and there's lots happening. Launceston's very balanced and the northwest coast is struggling a little.
Reflecting back on the year, were there any events to impact the market?
We've been travelling along fairly steadily under the guard of our mainland counterparts now for about 18 months to 2 years.
So would you say that's going to continue next year?
I would think things will pick up a little in the next year, and I would think that this time next year, if I'm on the radio to you, I'd be saying that we've continued to grow.
Yeah, affordability is a big thing now for people, particularly investors looking around Australia. Tasmania still certainly fits within that category. Where would you recommend investors should be looking right now?
I tend to think on the outer fringes. If you had a clock, inner Hobart would be at about 10 to 11 o'clock, meaning 12 o'clock being the top of the market. The outer Hobart areas are still at probably 7 and 8 o'clock. So I would certainly recommend areas like Moona, Mornington, Warrane. They're suburbs which are on the fringes of the heated market areas. And then if it was my own money I was using, I would probably look at trying to find somewhere on the northwest coast, particularly places like Burnie, where on the scale of using the clock again, we're probably at 6 o'clock. So there's a long way to go, a lot of opportunities. The University of Tasmania has just announced that they're going to move a campus into Burnie, and it's going to pick up, and the same in Launceston. So areas around where that university complex is going to go in time will be, I think you'll see a fair bit of movement in their real estate prices.
Yeah, as we look around Australia, a little bit later in the show too, we'll be taking you through ACT and the remaining territories And states. Andrew, Tasmania, I've so often heard a number of people tip that the Tasmanian market is about to move. And there are so many markets like that where it just, if they continue to tip it, it's going to move eventually.
Well, look, it is the most affordable capital city market in the country, clearly, Kevin, and it has a lot of positives, particularly for investors, but it just tends to stay off the radar, particularly for interstate investors that are looking for an outside market. And a lot of that is, of course, because of the economy. Has moved largely sideways, an underperformer, clearly, that Tasmanian economy. And that means people aren't coming into the market, as we see in other states, particularly New South Wales and Victoria, which is driving demand. So it has that underperformance as well that reflects that underperforming economy and low migration numbers. But look, undeniably great value there. Yeah. Hobart has a very tight rental market, highest yields in the country. So I think that maybe the perceptions, and we're going to get greater perceptions for investment properties and greater demand for investment properties, and maybe the locals will start to latch on to the great opportunities there are for yield, low vacancy rates, and certainly the potential for capital growth. So I think those lower-end properties in Hobart particularly represent very good value for investors, and I think we'll see a lift in investor activity, which remains quite low in that Hobart, in that Tasmanian market next year, and I think that'll help to drive prices. But look, I think there's affordability right throughout the price spectrum, particularly in Hobart, and even at the top end of the market with areas such as Sandy Bay, I think that, or suburbs such as Sandy Bay, I think there's good buying to be had generally. But it is that perception thing, Kevin, and, sometimes we scratch our heads to wonder why we don't get more buyers in a particular market that clearly offers good value, such as Tasmania, and particularly Hobart.
It just doesn't even hit the radar, does it, sometimes? And you're right, it is very, very affordable.
And ticks all the boxes, as I said. Very tight vacancy rates, tightest vacancy rates in the country. Had rents rising quite strongly as well, so yields are being maintained. And, certainly the upside for prices growth there. But, entry levels that are quite remarkable compared to the sort of prices we get in the other capitals.
We're looking around Australia, back in just a moment as we'll look at the ACT.
Weekend Real Estate with Kevin Turner. Thanks to Calypso Bay. Live your dream lifestyle in Southeast Queensland's premier waterfront development. calypsobay.com.au.
Welcome back to the show as we look around Australia at what the property markets are doing state by state, even into the territories. This time we're going to take you to WA, talking to REWA's President Hayden Groves. Hayden, thank you very much for your time. How would you broadly describe the market there right now?
Well, I think more broadly, Kevin, and good morning. People are very conscious about moving around, or lack of moving around in the property market right now. Transaction levels are continuing to slide, and preliminary quarter for the September quarter numbers look like it's going to continue to be a downward trajectory in that regard. But prices, having said that, have held up surprisingly well, considering there is such a sort of apathy in the property sector right now.
Is there a lot of choice, a lot of properties on the market?
Well, that's the other interesting thing about this market. We've often said that in Perth, if you had about 12,000 listings on the market, you'd have market parity. I think it's probably more like 13,000 about right nowadays. Mm. But we're really only nudging 15,000, and we have been up as high as 18,500 in the past.
Do you think things are going to improve into 2017?
I think we'll be sitting here, perhaps if we're having this conversation this time next year, that we'll be talking that the market hasn't changed much.
Where's the best buying right now in WA?
I think there is still quite a lot of development going on in and around Perth, a lot more infrastructure. You've got a new stadium being built. You've got a railway line being built out through Forest Field. So there is a lot of activity still going on, and the Perth CBD itself has undergone a renaissance over the last decade or so, where people no longer used to just commute in to the city and work. They're now living in there, they're recreating, and they're working in there. So I think close to the city areas, I think in and around Burswood, I think will do very well. Places like Ascot, places like Forest Field, the more affordable areas, just on the fringes of the city, but going to benefit from some more infrastructure going through those areas. Because the top end of the market has fallen somewhat of late, places like Dalkeith and Nedlands, there's some really good value for money in there now. Those blue ribbon suburbs, I think they were going to attract a bit of attention in the trade-up sector in the next 12 months.
As we continue to look around Australia at the real estate market as we head towards the end of the year and look into 2017, our special in-studio guest is Dr. Andrew Wilson, Senior Economist at the Domain Group. Gee, it's been a tough old market in WA, hasn't it? You know what really impressed me about that conversation with Hayden is that he wasn't sort of saying, oh, you know, it's going to be a major resurgence. He's just pretty much saying 2017 is going to be pretty much the same.
Well, it's a journey, Kevin, and we shouldn't be surprised. They've had a very big shakeout in their economy. And this is the Australian economy's had a big shakeout. We're now in transition from those remarkable resources booms. And, of course, the epicentre of those booms was particularly Western Australia. And the other thing that impacted that Perth market particularly was the surge in the fly-in, fly-outs that created almost artificial demand. And, unfortunately, when that demand source was taken away by the end of the construction phase of the resource boom, that meant that there was always going to be a significant correction in the Perth market. And that's underway now. And we've seen the unemployment rate increase from the threes and now into the sixes. So a lot will depend on an improvement to the local economy, and that will take some time. This is part of the adjustment process that generally the Australian economy is undergoing at the moment. But look, with all things there are positives, and there's no doubt that with prices now in the Perth market at four-year lows for houses, this is a remarkable opportunity to buy, particularly for entry-level buyers. And I think that's where the positives are. And that's what we always see in a correction phase, Kevin, that those first home buyers start to move into the market in higher numbers, and that's what we need in our capital city markets, access to the market at the entry level, because then that creates the property journey. So yeah, look, probably a little bit the same next year. Let's watch the economy, but certainly a very value orientated market at Perth at the moment with those prices at four-year lows. So great buying opportunities.
We're going to go from Western Australia to the Northern Territory now. Joining me from the Institute there, Quinton Killian. Quinton, how would you broadly describe the market in the NT right now?
Look, I think the best word for it is probably lacklustre. It's starting to show a little bit of rebounding at the moment. The last quarter showed about 6.6% increase in volume, but it has been a fairly underwhelming last 12 months, I would suggest.
Yeah, it's been a very difficult 12 months for the Territory, hasn't it? Looking back over the last 12 months, were there any events or things that impacted the market that you noticed?
The key aspect was a departure of people. We actually saw a net negative interstate migration of around about, well, anywhere between about 10 to 12,000 people, depending on what stats you use. So we had the compilation of finished projects coming to market, so a lot more stock coming into the marketplace, and at the same time, no economic activity that was hanging onto the people. So we're actually losing the people who should be buying, renting and investing in those properties.
Yeah. What about 2017? What's the outlook for that for the next year?
Well, give me a crystal ball and I'll let you know. I would like to think that with the new government in and a bit of economic stimulus that we can start to see an attraction of people back. And that's the key underlying element, is if we can get the people back and get the investors back, the stock limits or the stock levels are not so massive that we can't correct it.
If you were looking to buy right now as an investment, where would you be looking, Quinton?
Look, I would have to say, as an investor, probably Palmerston. There's some good stock there, good prices, rental yields above 5%. The other place to have a look at is Alice Springs. There's good stock, and they're producing rental yields around 7.9% at the moment.
Gee, that's good. Yeah, very good. Quinton, thanks very much for your time. All the best, and we look forward to catching up with you next year.
Pleasure, Kevin.
Andrew, when I was in Darwin only a matter of about a month ago, I was surprised the number of high-rise apartments that are going up in the city itself.
Well, I'm a regular visitor to Darwin too, Kevin. I was there about a month ago, and yeah, it's been a big surge in developments in apartments in Darwin, and even though there is certainly a high vacancy rates in that market, and a market that where supply has moved ahead of demand, I think there's some good long-term opportunities for investors that are looking for something in the northern capital, and I think those apartments will certainly turn around both their yields and their price growth profiles sooner rather than later. But Darwin is showing some early signs of improvement. And of course, it suffered the same as Perth with the end of the fly-in, fly-outs. But the underlying economy in Darwin is very strong. 3% unemployment rate. We have seen the shift away from strong migration because of the end of the fly-in, fly-outs. But we're now starting to track a significant shift downwards and tightening in vacancy rates for houses in Darwin. And I think that's the first sign of a renaissance in that market. And of course, it was oversold. Prices were, nearly as high as Sydney's or higher than Sydney's at one point there, but it's now becoming more affordable. And I think that investors will start looking at Darwin as a housing market, and I mean the city of Darwin. But I do think that that apartment market for a longer term investment opportunity ticks a lot of boxes.
So, yeah, so the bottom line is inner city apartments in Darwin.
And on the way back, generally, that Darwin market, and driven by, you know, the key factor, which is still a very strong local economy.
Okay, we're looking around Australia, and our special in-studio guest is Dr. Andrew Wilson, Senior Economist at the Domain Group. Still to come, we're going to have a look at Queensland and New South Wales. Andrew, two of them, well, I've kept them right till the end because they're
sounds like a state of origin to me, Kevin.
We'll check it out. Stay with us. Lots more to come as we are talking real estate.
Weekend Real Estate with Kevin Turner. Thanks to Calypso Bay. Live your dream lifestyle in southeast Queensland's premier waterfront development. CalypsoBay.com.au.
Welcome back to the show. Well, two main East Coast states to go in our look around the Australian marketplace. Shortly, we're going to take you to New South Wales. But right now, let's turn the spotlight on Queensland. Joining me to do that, Antonio Mercarella, CEO for the REIQ. How would you describe the Queensland market right now?
Look, I'd say the Queensland market is operating at two speeds, really. The southeast corner, we know, has been growing fairly steadily and consistently at around 2% per quarter. But unfortunately, the regional areas in Queensland are either flat or in a state of decline. Look, we are optimistic, though, that the areas north of Caboolture are starting to find their feet. We're starting to see the median sales data and vacancy rates showing signs of plateauing. And, of course, here in Brisbane, there's still lots of talk about the apartment market and the alleged oversupply. We're still optimistic that these effects are going to be short-lived and that ultimately that supply will be absorbed.
And your view on 2017?
Got to say, we're not expecting any major changes. We think we're going to be seeing more of the same. The price of coal at the moment is good, and so we're hoping that that's going to have a positive impact on the economy. And if the price of coal stays up, then that's going to have a really positive effect, and hopefully we'll see the mines kick in production levels again and start hiring, which will obviously be really beneficial for those local economies. It's probably more of the same. In the southeast corner, we've got some major projects, which will, of course, be coming into progress.
And Antonio, where's the best place to invest in the state right now?
If I had to pick one place, I'd have to say it's the Sunshine Coast. We know that it's a really tightly held market. Rental demand is really strong. Great place for an investment property and ultimately a really terrific place to live as well.
I think that Antonio probably sends a few weekends up on the Sunshine Coast. I just listening to what Antonio said there about the Sunshine Coast, I mean, it's a market that I think for the last 5 or 6 years has been grossly oversupplied.
Well, that's true, Kevin, and it's a very mixed market, of course. We have the retiree end down on the south with a Caloundra, and of course, then we have the tourist lifestyle at the north end of the coast from Parisian up to Noosa. And so it's a very mixed market and very much a suburban market in the mid Maroochydore, Mooloolaba, Alexander Headland, yeah. and of course, Kawana Waters areas is very much a suburban market. So it's very mixed. But look, those southeast Queensland markets are in lockstep. Brisbane, Sunshine Coast, and the Gold Coast tend to move with the same energy. And of course, it is a two speed market and does reflect the again, that shakeout in the resources sector. North of Noosa has certainly struggled, particularly north of Bundaberg. And I was just up there recently doing road shows, and some good signs are actually starting to emerge at the bottom of the market, maybe coming through in Mackay, Gladstone, Rockhampton. Not so much Townsville, but those markets now with medians pushing down towards $300,000 are starting to attract buyers. And interestingly enough, Kevin, local investors are getting active in those central Queensland markets. So I think we're reaching the bottom of the market, and from then it will see some steady growth coming up from those very affordable $300,000 mediums. Cairns is looking good, had a quieter period to start this year, but now bouncing back, and it's been with the the southern part of Queensland the better performer in terms of growth, and I think the Cairns also offers some good value. But north of Brisbane, you can't go wrong. Chermside, Kedron, Everton Park, these areas still I believe represent very good value for buyers. I also think down to the east of Brisbane, Wynnum, Manly, these areas too, I think it's some good value buying in meaty suburbs.
Well, as we wrap up our look around Australia, we're going to have a look at probably one of the hottest markets in Australia that we've seen for a long, long time. We're going to have a look at New South Wales, and joining me, the CEO for the Institute in New South Wales, Tim McKibben. Tim, how would you broadly describe the New South Wales market right now?
I had a friend of mine, an agent friend of mine, who said to me that they were setting records and going broke. I thought that about summed up the New South Wales market, because the auction clearance rates and the prices are right up there. But unfortunately, the stocks come off quite sharply. Now, July to July came off 15%, and August off 20%. I haven't yet got the September figures, but we are seeing the amount of stock coming off quite sharply.
Mm. What's your forecast for next year? Is it going to continue to grow in New South Wales?
Yeah, look, I think the demand will keep there, and I suspect that we're going to probably see a flattening out of the market. But having said that, the reality of it is, and I don't think it's in dispute, that the New South Wales economy is the strongest one in the country. We've got low interest rates. So I suspect that the demand will remain, and will keep pressure on stock levels.
Yeah, where's the smart money going in New South Wales now? Where's the best place to invest, Tim?
Oh, if I knew that, I don't think I'd have this job. But I suppose you go back to the old favourites, don't you, about finding areas where there's infrastructure being promised or built, which is even better. But I think it's more complicated these days, because the contemporary consumer is looking for a different sort of lifestyle. I mean, years ago, we would never have contemplated living in a high density, but now it's quite common. So the traditional quarter-acre block where one could go out on the fringes of Sydney and just keep buying property out there and waiting for the infrastructure to catch up, I think it's become far more complicated.
Yeah, old Tim, he wouldn't give us a commitment. He wouldn't come up with any suggestions.
Well, that's okay. I guess Sydney is the new Sydney, isn't it? Because it's back in town and another remarkable market. And did wane, of course, last year. And it waned particularly sharply because those APRA-initiated policies that led to higher interest rates from the bank to investors did pull the market down. But lower interest rates and just the hint of a change to negative gearing has had investors rolling back into that Sydney market like the Marines. And I'll tell you what, they're going to push up towards about 60% of buying activity is through investors in that Sydney market, and that is the future for that market. And prices growth, I think we're going to hit the $1.1 million median sooner rather than later. And it's just a remarkably robust market, but it's the strongest economy in the country. Why wouldn't it be? 1,100 people every week move into Sydney, and they've got to live somewhere, Kevin. So a very strong market. I think the value opportunities in Sydney will always be at the bottom end of the market, as close as you can get into the city. So that's the western suburbs, and even the southern suburbs still represent good value for investors. But look, prices growth waxes and wanes in terms of the substratas of the market. Prestige has had a very good year this year after a couple of quiet years, but the areas such as the inner west keep on keeping on. A very strong market, the Sydney market, clearly undersupplied. Maybe some early signs that the Parramatta and Hills areas with those incredible numbers of units that have come onto the market recently, just starting to ease a little bit with supply catching up with demand. But over the medium to longer term, you'd really want to be a property owner in Sydney, Kevin, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. There were, even in the last couple of weeks, a number of commentators, I can't number you amongst them necessarily, but have been saying that there's a slight slowdown in the Sydney market, or signs that it might be pulling back a little bit.
No, I disagree, Kevin. If anything, it's starting to rise. We're seeing clearance rates incredible. Now heading into those crazy mid 80% results of a weekend. More stock coming into the marketplace, but that's what you expect over the late spring, early summer market. But no, look, there's still buyers are still absolutely outnumbering sellers in that marketplace. And it's just a very tight market. And it's almost reached that position where, you know, it's really going to be almost immune to any sort of correction in the marketplace. And of course, that's the conundrum for the Reserve Bank. Lower rates will mean just more higher prices in Sydney.
Stay with us. Lots more to come after the break. Dr. Andrew Wilson will give us his summation on the market, and we'll look ahead to 2017.
You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner on News Talk 4BC.
And it's coming up to 4 minutes to 8.
Welcome back to the show. As we look around Australia at what the property market's been like, and my guest this morning has been Dr. Andrew Wilson, Senior Economist at the Domain Group. Andrew, let's do a wrap for 2017. Yeah. Where do you see the market heading next year?
Well, a lot, as usual, depends on interest rates, Kevin. We saw the market pick up, particularly in those stronger markets of Sydney and Melbourne, where the underlying drivers are clearly the strongest this year, with those cuts in May and then followed up in August. I think we are more likely to get a cut next year, early days. A lot depends on the economy, of course, and that will continue to activate those markets, help to improve those that have underperformed. But again, it's generally been a reflection of local economic factors that have driven housing markets, and more of the same next year. I'm of the belief that our cycles will become a lot flatter into the future, and that is a product of a flatter interest rate environment. Really, the prospects for higher interest rates are not there in the foreseeable future, and I think if they're going to move anywhere, it will be downwards, but there are still some journeys to be had by particularly the mining states, the mining capitals, in terms of reactivating their housing markets. And, you know, as I said, a lot will depend on improvements to their local economies and, of course, lower interest rates. And that's the problem with interest rates. They're a really heavy weapon that is a one-size-fits-all. But I think if we ever think we'd have higher rates in Sydney and Melbourne and lower rates in Brisbane and Perth at the moment. But that's not the way it works.
A bit like hitting a pin with a sledgehammer in some cases. Any concerns about oversupply?
Well, look, I'm always bemused by this term oversupply, about what we should be worrying about. I mean, we don't have any historical model in terms of market problems to do with a particular submarket, and the apartment market certainly is a submarket, and these things do adjust over the medium to longer term, because you just don't have queues of buyers waiting for apartment blocks as they come on board, and that's the whole nature of the beast, that supply does move ahead of demand, but it just depends on local market conditions, how quickly that supply and demand rebalances out. But there's no doubt that there's a journey in the Brisbane market and the Melbourne CBD market in terms of supply, but that's creating jobs, and it will create high quality accommodation down the track. And what we are starting to see, particularly in the Brisbane market, is that the supply cycle is now finishing, Kevin, and that sign that the trend for the supply cycle, that is for new apartments in the Brisbane, signals really the journey back into a balance between supply and demand, because it means there's not a lot of new stuff that's going to come up in behind what's being built at the moment. So when what has been built is absorbed, it'll be a long-term journey to get again to catch up with demand. So early signs that we're now moving into an adjustment back into the positives.
Okay, 30 seconds to go. I want Dr. Andrew Wilson's pick of the year. Where would you go?
Well, I'm very positive for Canberra units, and I said that previously in the commentary. I think that they are remarkable yields. Vacancy rates are low, and those high yields represent good value price. I think there's plenty of upside to prices growth. But that, and of course anywhere in the Sydney market, because that just keeps on keeping on.
And the price range in Canberra?
Well, look, you can get properties certainly in the 400s there in terms of those unit markets and below, and that's why the yields are so high, because rents in Canberra are not cheap, and that's the underlying shortage of property of development in Canberra that just keeps prices rising.
Andrew, thanks very much for your
expert commentary. My
pleasure, Kevin. Commentary.
Always wonderful to be here.
Good on you. Dr. Andrew Wilson, Senior Economist at the Domain Group, and that's where we're going to have to leave you for today's show. Thank you so much for your company. We're going to be back again tomorrow morning between 7 and 8 as we talk real estate. My special guest tomorrow is going to be John Fitzgerald, and we track his journey. He's helped thousands of people make a lot of money out of property, and we'll ask him about his thoughts as well. News is next. I'm Kevin Turner. Thanks for your company. We'll see you again tomorrow morning.